Well, a good Wednesday afternoon, Saskatchewan. Away we go. Tonight's the night. It begins. The Stanley Cup Final will finally drop the puck in game number one in Edmonton, Alberta. You know, Locker's ready to go because he's whistling Pink Pony Club before the start of the
show. That's your fault. He's playing the song in the Green Zone Lounge every 30 minutes.
Right before we went on, he's whistling.
I told you, the reason I hate this song is because it gets stuck in my head.
No, it's because you're an Oiler fan and you're ready to go for game one tonight.
Let's go!
Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and yes, oh yes, it is here tonight, game one of the Stanley Cup Final.
Slavin can't put a chance, scores! Matthew Tkachuk puts it to bed!
Here's McDavid, he scores!
Scheduled start time for, it says 6 o'clock. It'll likely be 6:15, 6:20 before they get going tonight in Edmonton. Of course, the difference is the Oilers have home ice advantage this year. Florida had it last year as they go into the Stanley Cup Final. There are some question marks about Connor Brown with him missing the last half of the Stars series. He was good to go, then he wasn't good to go, but it looks like Connor Brown will play tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. Matthew Tkachuk, Sam Reinhart didn't skate this morning for the Florida Panthers. They'll be good to go.
Tkachuk's still dealing with something from Four Nations, I think.
Yeah, so both teams have banged up. Even Zach Hyman, of course, not playing in this series, was talking to the media today with a gigantic cast on his wrist after dislocating it against the Dallas Stars. So here we go tonight, game one of the Stanley Cup Final. A little bit later on, you'll hear from the father of head coach Chris Knobloch, and we'll get your predictions on who you think will lift Lord Stanley's cup at the end of this series. You can start sending those predictions. We want the team you're picking and how many games it's going to take to get there.
Throw a Y in there, too, if you want.
Now, 1-877-332-8255.
We'll stick with the NHL. The players have voted. The players have voted for their MVP of the season.
Back to Kucherov. His shot. Score! Nikita Kucherov! It's a lightning strike!
This is Kucherov's second Ted Lindsay Award. He led the league in scoring this year right ahead of Leon Draisaitl with 121 points. The award, like we said, is voted by the players. So it's one of those... it's one of those awards that I think means a little bit more to guys, right?
The Hart Trophy is voted by the Professional Hockey Writers Association. The players vote for this one.
It's always intriguing for me to see how the players, like when they were talking about the goalies and everything like that, too.
Connor Hellebuyck's number three.
Number three, and we're like, what?
Yeah. Of course, the other two finalists were Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon. So the Avalanche might have split the vote in favor of Nikita Kucherov.
I didn't think of that, but that's a good point, right?
As we get ready for the CFL, of course, the Riders open tomorrow, holding their final media availability today.
Tomorrow is when the real live bullets start really, really mattering, and you get to put your off-season, you know, training to the test. You get to put your weekly prep to the test, and how sharp you are, and how good we feel about our offense, you find out tomorrow.
Yes, we will. The Ottawa Red Blacks are in town Thursday night. 7 o'clock is the start time at Mosaic Stadium. The Green Zone pregame show starts at 5 o'clock. Stuart Johnston is in town, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League. So he will be around for the game because it is the opening game of the regular season. And our Dave Naylor, he's going to be coming up. He thinks this is the Grey Cup. This will be the first game of the season and the last game of the season.
Hold on. I was listening to the Blitz Podcasts, which is the fastest growing CFL podcast in Canada. And it sounded a lot like you and Britton were kind of on board with that.
I'm Montreal, Saskatchewan in the Grey Cup.
Okay.
Britain is Ottawa, Saskatchewan. Dave Naylor's Ottawa, Saskatchewan. So we'll get Dave's point of view on why he's picking the Riders. We got his Ottawa answer yesterday, why he's picking the Riders to go to Winnipeg for the Grey Cup today.
And then last night, the TSN Top 50, you might have seen it, CFL Players of the Year released. Who was number one?
And they're coming. And caught for a touchdown by Brady Oliveira. Trying to find the end zone now on a first and goal. Oliveira, 3-2-1, touchdown.
So number one, Oliveira. Number two was zero in your hearts. Number one in your, well... Roland Milligan and Bo Levi Mitchell landed in at number three. Nathan Rourke, number seven. So there were...
I can't wait for Britton Gray to come in and talk about Nathan Rourke being number seven on the top 50 list.
So, okay, so to get to number seven, how many people vote on this list? You said like 30?
A couple of dozen, yeah.
Okay.
Vote on it.
So more than a handful of people had to have put Nathan Rourke quite high up to get him in at number seven on the list.
You put your top 40 in, and each...
And you didn't even have him on your top 40.
No!
Okay. All right.
No!
Well, someone's wrong here.
Seven? I'm like, top 20's even a little... Ugh. Top 30, I went, okay, sure, maybe. Top 40, if it would have been a top 50, we only do a 40. We only submit 40 names. And then it's a scoring system. I don't know what they do if every single person had the same 40 on their list.
Yeah,
on how it goes. But and then everybody gets so points based on where they're. So yeah. My number one was Brady Oliveira. He got 40 points from me, and then they tally it all up, and whoever has the most points is number one. So my top 10 was close, except for Nathan Rourke.
So other riders, Harris was number 24. Furlan was 37. Thurman was 43, and Rivas ended up in 44th spot.
So there's your top 50. Britton Gray's going to debate with us, and Dave Naylor took some heat on the panel last night during the top 50 show. Meanwhile, is Rory McIlroy about to end the Toronto Maple Leafs curse?
What?
In 2019, ahead of the Canadian Open, Rory McIlroy was presented with a Toronto Raptors jersey. They won the NBA championship. Today, the CEO of MLSE, Keith Pelley, who also used to run the European Golf Tour, presented Rory McIlroy with a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey. Does that mean the Leafs can end the drought?
It's only a matter of time. You know, if I can get over the line at Augusta, these guys can get over the line at the Stanley Cup.
I like how he even laughs at the end. Although Rory must have been briefed on the hockey, because he's like, I know we're all cheering for the Oilers now. Like, he was right into what's going on
in
the world.
Him and Keith
Pelley are friends.
They're buddies. I get, and I think he might even stay with him when he comes to Toronto. And they live close together when he was in England. So they have a relationship.
So the first round tomorrow, TPC Toronto. For the RBC Canadian Open, 21 Canadians are in the field, including, of course, Nick Taylor, who won the national championship in 2023.
Since they've moved this tournament, the dates now, you get a lot more, you get bigger names, right?
It used to be right after the British Open.
And no one would come.
Well, you'd have to get on a jet from England and fly. And
so this has become quite an event now.
Yes, it is, because it's the week before the U.S. Open.
Guys, like a warm-up.
Ahead of the U.S. Open, and Rory McIlroy said, I missed the cut for a couple of years not playing in Canada, and then once I started playing in Canada, I've been in the top 10 almost every time. So he likes it as a tune-up event.
Scotty's not here this year, though.
Scotty Scheffler is not here after winning Jack's event last week. Coming up next, you're on the Green Zone. The head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, of course, from Imperial, Saskatchewan, our Shane Clausing. Track down his dad for a chat ahead of tonight's Game 1 ahead of the Stanley Cup Final. You'll hear that next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
And it's all because your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Wednesday ahead of Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Of course, a lot of Saskatchewan connections when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers, from training staff, but behind the bench, Glenn Gullitson and the head coach, Chris Knobloch. And ahead of game one, our Shane Clausing was able to talk to Chris's dad, Bob, as he watches his son get the Oilers to the Stanley Cup final for the second straight year.
What are your thoughts on Chris going back to the Stanley Cup final for the second year in a row? I mean, he's only been on the job for 18 months, and he's done basically as good as you could ask for.
After last year, it was kind of a surprise to get to the Stanley Cup final, and it's hard to do every year. And I knew it'd be a lot of hard work to get back again, but here they are. They're playing better than they were last year, and, yeah, we're hoping to finish it off this year.
Yeah, are you surprised they're back again? Because, I mean, there were a lot of points in the season where you're like, this looks like a fraction of the team that played last year that Chris coached and got to the final. Like, did you think it was possible for them to get back again?
Yeah, early on I thought some of the moves they made was, you know, it didn't look like, you know, the team had it. And then some late additions with Wallman and Klingberg and getting Kane back. And then getting everybody back healthy, it you know, the last little bit sure turned the team around, and they're looking totally different than they did midway through the season, that's for sure.
What buttons has Chris pushed to be right? I know you're not in the dressing room, but, I mean, you do talk to him. He is your son. Like, what's clicked, and what has he done right to get the Oilers back to this point?
Yeah, well, it was mainly injuries. Like you said, right around the Four Nations tournament, he said we never really had a full lineup. Like, we had three or four guys out. Drysdale was out for a while. Connor was out. And he said we did a lot of line juggling, trying to figure out the right mix. And he said it took away a lot from the team play, getting the right mix. He said it, you know, kind of goofed things up for a while. But he said we finally found out, you know, the best mixture. And once we got everybody back, he was confident that, you know, they could make a good run.
No kidding. What's it been like watching your son coach and find his footing in the NHL? Obviously, last year's run was one thing, and then this year, like, he's been able to establish himself, and now he's honestly regarded as one of the best coaches in the league. Just what's it been like for you to watch this as a father?
Well, very proud, one thing, of course. You know, but watching the games, it's pretty nerve-wracking in the playoffs. It, you know, game day starts for me, and I'm almost as nervous as when I played hockey. You know, I'm just on pins and needles until the game starts. And yeah, it's a rocky road. It's I'm glad he's there doing it, but there's a lot of nerves involved. That's for sure.
Yeah, where does he get his calmness from? Because you said you're a nervous guy. Like, does he get nervous too, or does he just nothing really fazes him?
No, he's pretty calm. You know, he said, you know, he gets worked up before the game, but once the puck's dropped, he's totally focused. Yeah, nothing really seems to rattle him. Like, I'll talk to him after a bad game, and, you know, if the Oilers have, you know, haven't played that well, or if there's a bad, something bad happens on the ice, he just lets it slide, and he says the next game's coming back, and that's what he focuses on, not the past mistakes or whatever. And yeah, I think he gets his calmness from his mother. She's a little more calm.
Awesome. How nervous are you going to be watching?
Actually, at the rink, it's a little better when we're at Rogers Place, because you're there with 18,000 fans just rocking the place. So I'm more relaxed at the arena than sitting at home watching on TV. So it'll be nice up in Rogers.
That is Bob Knobloch, the proud father of the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Chris Knobloch from Imperial, Saskatchewan. Watch parties are back on in Imperial, of course. The Oilers flags are flying. Of course, the signs up, the home of Chris Knobloch, as they'll be rooting on the Edmonton Oilers to try to maybe get a parade in Imperial later this summer. With a Stanley Cup with Chris.
I'll take a beer at the Legion.
So that's tonight, game one of the Stanley Cup final. Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Of course, game one of the Stanley Cup final tonight. We're getting your predictions. 1-877-332-8255. Also a reminder, tomorrow, game day in Saskatchewan. It is the Rough Riders and the Red Blacks. And Trevor Harris was on the Green Zone just before training camp started. And he joined us, and we had a nice chat with Trevor.
And he was going to get us nicknames, remember?
From Jake Mayer and Tommy Stevens. I don't know if we got the nickname with their nicknames
no,
yet.
No. He said the next time I come on, I'll have nicknames for you two mutts, is what he said.
Yeah, I don't think I need a nickname. Live on forever. You already got one.
Locker, yeah. Yeah. By the way, because people think my name is Locker, and my name's Lachlan. I had another person reach out to me going, that's a dumb name.
Yeah, his name's
not
Lachlan.
Knowing that Locker is not my, that's not my given name. It was.
Now, that'd be a heck of a story if it was. But
how do you explain that to people?
One of the conversations we had with Trevor was he likes those inspirational like bracelets, those rubber bracelets that you put on, and he gets different phrases each and every year.
Who
and
started that?
I forget. Wasn't it? Was it Lance Armstrong or something like that?
Was it Lance? The yellow wristbands?
The Live Strong.
Yeah.
It was Lance Armstrong. Wow. I pulled that from my memory banks. I'll never know. So we were wondering what the wristbands will say this year. He handed them out today ahead of tomorrow's game. Here it is.
Passed them out today. Decisively engaged. And the other one. The other side, Mason's talking this year about we're on the clock. And so to me, we put SR time for Saskatchewan Rough Rider time, but I think there's a little bit more to that if you say it fast enough, SR time. And we feel like, it's our time to be on the clock. And so hopefully this year is our time.
So SR time and the other side?
Decisively engaged.
Decisively engaged.
Okay. All right. I hope Tavon Campbell got one.
He handed them out today because we talked to Tavon yesterday on the show, and he was like, "What? He's giving?
What are
out,
you talking about?
He never gave me anything.
Yeah.
Where's my gift from Trevor Harris? The players got him today, and of course, Trevor told us he's hoping to maybe spin this into a charitable thing, sell them for charity and things like that in the Rider store. So, we'll see if that happens.
I like that.
So the Rider fans can get in on that as well. So there you have it. The mottos of this year: on the clock, SR time, and it's going to take me a while to remember this one.
Decisively engaged.
Decisively engaged. Not going to spell that, but it sounds awesome. I think it's a great idea.
Absolutely it is. It's a band of brothers in that room. You can tell by talking to them today. You'll hear some of that on the pregame show tomorrow, 5 o'clock ahead of the 7 o'clock kickoff against the Ottawa Red Blacks. But right now we're opening up the fan line to you at a game one of the Stanley Cup final tonight, the Edmonton Oilers against the Florida Panthers. We want you to predict what is about to take place over the next 2 weeks. Who claims the Stanley Cup? How many games does it take them to win it? And why? 1-877-332-8255. Give us a call. We'd love to get your prediction right here on the air, here on the Green Zone this afternoon.
You're sticking with five? Oilers and five?
Me and Evan Bray, we're best buds. Oilers and five.
Okay.
He won't agree to that, but I just said it on the radio. So
You realize
we're best friends now.
You have conflicting stuff on the board.
What do you mean I have conflicting? I don't have conflicting things on the board.
Yeah, you do. You got Oilers in five, but you've got Brad Marchand, number 63,
no,
a blizzard out of the cup.
Hold on. I said if. I didn't say when. I said if.
Okay.
The Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup. I said if they win, Brad Marchand will eat a blizzard out of the Stanley Cup. But I am not predicting they win. But if they do, that's what I'm predicting happens. Oilers in five. 1-877-332-8255. Give us a call. What do we got on the text line, Locker?
All right. Well, we'll start with Edmonton loses in seven. I see another choke. That's from Jesse in Saskatoon. I'm not exactly sure I would suggest that last year was a choke.
The Panthers almost choked it away last year after a 3-0 lead.
Yeah, because Edmonton came back, stormed back, won the next three, went back to Florida, and lost by one goal.
Mm-hmm.
Janmark was the only one who scored for the Oilers in Game 7 last year. I don't know if that's a choke. Edmonton in a sweep if they don't have a bad period. That is from Clark. So Clark's got a...
Because they would have swept Dallas if it wasn't for the third period in Game 1.
Yeah.
That's where Clark's
got a contingency.
One. So we have an Edmonton sweep, an Oilers lose in Game 7.
Yeah.
Then Brenda's with us. Brenda's on the Oilers in 5 bandwagon at 1-877-332-8255. That just means they get to present the Stanley Cup to the Oilers at home if they win it in 5.
Dale in Saskatoon. Oilers in 7. Why? Because they are now the best team in the NHL. McDavid will be the Conn Smythe winner. So Dale throwing in his Conn Smythe prediction into his thoughts on the series as well. Kirk went Oilers in 7. They'll lose this one tonight. Who do you got tonight?
Oilers are going to win the first two at home. They'll split in Florida, and then they'll win Game 5.
Okay, I've got the Oilers with a blowout win tonight, like 6-2.
Yeah, for someone who didn't want me to talk about like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins getting the cup second from McDavid, you're all in on a 6-1 victory for the Oilers tonight against the Florida Panthers, which, okay, we'll see how that goes.
This came in from Brett.
But Kirk laid it out. Kirk says they'll lose one tonight, drop the first game in Florida, win the second one, win back at home, lose game 6, and then make it nice and stressful for a game. So Kirk's laid it all out. It'll go loss, win, loss, win, win, loss, win for the Edmonton Oilers to win in 7 games.
Brett's got Florida in 6, but maybe 5. And then Caden from Regina, Edmonton takes both at home, splits the road, and then wins in Game 5. So he's on the Game 5 bandwagon. Caden is with you and Evan. I got Edmonton in 6.
1-877-332-8255. Give us a call. What do you think on the Oilers and the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup final? Dave, what do you got for a prediction?
Oh, guys, I'm flying right now. Yeah, I'm saying I'm going on the bandwagon with you. Oilers in 5. They win it in Edmonton. And I can't wait till the fans boo Batman.
Will that be the loudest boo of Gary Bettman in a long, long time?
100%. Without question. He'll never hear a louder crowd.
Why would you boo Bettman if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan?
Do you want me to start a list?
Why would you? No, seriously. Why would you boo Bettman? Let's break this down. This is a man who shut down the league to bring in the salary cap so teams like the Oilers could compete again. He got Darryl Cates as an owner to buy the Edmonton Oilers with buying it from the EIG, which got them a new nice rink. Remember, as Gary Bettman played along with that little like hint of maybe moving the team if they don't get a new rink, that helped the new rink for Edmonton Oilers fans. And then they
got McDavid.
Okay, in the draft lottery. And Nugent Hopkins.
Are you suggesting he fixes the draft?
People say he does. So if he's fixing the draft, it worked out pretty good for the Edmonton Oilers.
But sure,
to boo the guy.
Okay, listen.
Boo him.
Those are all excellent points, Jamie. But you can't not boo Bettman.
I'd be the one guy in the rink standing up. Now the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman.
Yay,
and I'd be like, Gerber! Let's go, Gerber! I don't know if he'd appreciate me calling him Gerber, but that's what I do here. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. What do you have for a prediction? Edmonton Oilers, Florida Panthers, game 1 tonight. Gord says Edmonton in 6. So that is
Gord's with me.
Your prediction. Kevin wants to be on the record saying Florida in 6. So that would be a Florida Panthers victory on home ice in game number 6. Let's go to Sean in Pilot Butte. Sean, what do you got for a prediction for the Stanley Cup final?
Oilers in 6. They lose the first 2. Skinner gets pulled and Pickard comes in and doesn't lose the game.
So we've got round one script.
Okay. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that was a funny. What was the tweet that I read to you the other day about? It was about Gretzky goes to New York, loses his first Stanley Cup final, comes back, wins it the next year. Crosby goes into Detroit, loses his first one, goes back the next year, beats Detroit. Connor McDavid goes to Florida, loses his first Stanley Cup final, back and wins it, and, you know, potentially could win. The script writers have been going crazy this year or whatever, or working overtime. So...
Well, how many times have they rewritten Star is Born in Hollywood? You might as well rewrite this script again for a, you know, generational talent needing to lose first and then beat that team the next time around for their first Stanley Cup. 1-877-332-8255. Keep the predictions coming. A few more saying Florida in six. John says goaltending will be the difference. Bobrovsky is way more consistent. Lyle also says Florida in six because Skinner is too unpredictable. That's from Warman. And TJ's now coming in. A lot more Florida votes coming in now. Florida in six. Although Tom says, I hope.
You know what? I think it is going to be a goaltender thing, right? But you go back to Bob versus Skinner. This is, you can't sit there and compare regular season Bob to regular season Skinner, and you can't compare regular or playoff Bob to playoff Skinner. You can't.
They can change from series to series. Ask Jake Oettinger, the Dallas Stars. He was humming along in the first two series.
Well, and Bob last year in the Stanley Cup Finals had a couple of bad nights.
Ooh.
He had a couple Did of brutal ever? Nights.
1-877-332-8255 as we ask you, who do you have winning the Stanley Cup as it starts tonight, game one in Edmonton? Coming up next, even though he thought he could still play, today was a retirement news conference to end the career of one of the best in professional hockey. We'll remember it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Bridge Farm remembers.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Here comes Bailey. He's got it. Tied a 4-0 world record for Donovan Bailey and a gold medal.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
But you better come and speak. I'll be back in time.
On this day in sports, it was June the 4th. The year was 1980, and out of respect for the playoffs and the Stanley Cup, Gordie Howe waited a bit after the Stanley Cup was presented to announce that 1980 was his final season in pro hockey.
Hate like heck to go out after 32 years and find out I run short in the middle of the winter and be in a position where I'm forced to retire, which would be, that would be the sad part. Now it's a happy part. I still think I'm damn well good enough to play.
Gordie Howe retires on this day in 1980. He was 52 years old. He had just scored 15 goals and 41 points in 80 games for the Hartford Whalers, with his kids, of course, with him on that team. And as he said, he still thought he could play some more, but he didn't want to run out, as you heard in the winter. So Gordie Howe ends his career with 1,767 games played, 1,850 points. Of course, you can go to his WHA days, because he left the National Hockey League and went to the WHA, add another 419 games and 508 points to that, and you'd wrap up with 2,186 games and 2,358 points in a legendary career. One of the best. He's a Mount Rushmore NHLer.
They don't make him like that anymore.
No, they don't. And he officially announced his retirement on this day 45 years ago.